All right, guys, so today I'm here at Grace Avenue United Methodist Church. Look at that. This is their main sign. All means all, without exception, you belong. If you actually go on the Grace Avenue United Methodist Church, their about section, like their core beliefs, I'll read it to you right now. Humanity. We believe that God created all human beings in God's image. Therefore, we love and accept all people as children of God and embrace the diversity of God's creation. We welcome and affirm our LGBTQ plus siblings into the life of the church, including leadership, sacrament, and service. We believe in the value of every life, but understand that our world and local community are diminished by radical justice and the sin of white supremacy. I'm sorry, I almost laughed. So it is important to acknowledge that Black lives matter and that no human being is illegal. Our Bible affirms that a woman was the first to bring the message of the resurrection to the world, and we condemn the misogyny that denies women a prophetic voice in the church. To love our fellow human beings and to honor their gifts is to love God. Okay, so right now I'm going to be interviewing one of the pastors. They actually have two pastors. They have a female pastor and they have a male pastor. Okay, so I'm here right now at Grace Avenue United Methodist Church here in Frisco, Texas, and I'm here with
Laura Eccles Richter.
And you are the pastor?
One of the pastors.
One of the pastors. And how long have you been pastoring the church for?
My husband and I started the church 24 years ago.
24 years ago. And what made you want to be a pastor and start the church?
So as United Methodist, we are sent by the bishop to go and start new churches. And this was a new church in the community. It's a growing community. And my calling specifically is that I want all people to know that they are beloved by God.
What do you personally believe a person needs to do to go to heaven?
So we always start with grace, and it's God's grace. And so we don't talk a lot about who's going to heaven or a judgment. Mm-hmm. We really believe that God's prevenient grace goes before us, and that God has already claimed us as God's own. As we open ourselves to God's grace, then we can fully know God better. But it's really about the fact that God has already reached out to us. God's already loved us. And as Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God continues to make a way through Christ in amazing ways that we cannot try to quantify or specify. We just have to continue to open ourselves to grace with God and with one another.
Okay. And do you think that a born-again Christian can lose their salvation?
So we don't really talk about it in terms of born-again Christians. It's a different kind of theology.
Okay.
And we believe we are all born again on a regular basis. But what we believe is that salvation is ongoing, that it's a daily walk with Jesus, and that we're being saved each and every day.
So salvation is a process, you guys
it
would
is.
Say?
We believe it's very much a journey. It's a journey of opening ourselves to God's grace. And prevenient grace goes before. We believe in that grace that will reclaim our faith for ourselves.
Okay.
And we call that justifying grace. And that is that moment where we understand that Jesus died not just for everyone, but for me personally. And so that's a personal type of receiving. But then we also move into that in that understanding that God continues to walk with us. But we don't believe it. So one time, it's a being saved every day. Every day we accept God's grace. Every day we live into God's fullness. Each and every day it's a process.
And do you think that if somebody does not believe on Jesus Christ, if they reject him, that they would go to hell?
I don't ever feel like I am any person to make a definition about who goes to heaven or who goes to hell.
Okay.
My belief is that that is all about God, and that God's grace is greater than I could ever understand. And so it is not up to me to ever make that determination.
Okay. And do you think that everybody is born, like the moment they're born, that they're a child of God?
Yes, I believe God claims each and every one of us as we are born. Some people talk about original sin. I talk a little more about original blessing.
Wouldn't it not really be an original sin, but would you say it's a sinful nature that we're born with, though? Not like you're born in sin, but you have a sinful nature.
I would say that there's a brokenness in the world that we all carry with us.
Okay. How would you personally interpret the verse in John chapter 1, verse 12, that it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name"?
So what I would say is that it's always about God's free will. God doesn't ever force us into anything, force us into a relationship, but God greatly desires a relationship with us.
Right now I'm here with?
Dathan.
Dathan. And how long have you been going to Grace Avenue Methodist Church?
Just about since I was 3. My parents moved here, my dad found good work, and I've been here ever since.
So what do you personally believe it takes for a person to go to heaven?
I'd say that if you are objectively a moral person in your life, and you end your life as a moral person, then you can get into heaven.
Okay. Now, do you think that everybody is born a child of God?
Yeah. I believe everyone's born a child of God, because if you take the the creation story semi-literally, then everybody is born and made in the image of God.
Okay.
And is created by God, so therefore a child of God.
Now, do you think that the man should always be the head of the wife?
I think it's, are we talking relationship-wise?
Yes.
Got it.
Like, if I'm married,
right?
Do you think I should always be the head of my wife? Any man in general?
I think, how do I put this? I think that, on a wider, to a wider degree, or to a more general degree, it's going to be more common, and it's going to be more helpful if it's more common, but of course, with everything, there's a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
And I don't think, I don't know if that reflects the beliefs of the congregation.
Okay. No, it's your personal beliefs. I'm asking, you know, here to ask you what you think. Now, do you think that women should be pastors?
Yeah, I think they can be pastors.
Okay. So, you know, the church is affirming to LGBTQ.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
My sister is a part of that community, okay. So I've got a personal stake in it in that sense.
I have a brother who is.
Yeah.
And
I agree with a lot of what they say. I disagree with a lot of what they say.
Okay.
I mean, case by case basis, obviously, but I do believe that it's good that our church is welcoming to all people of all walks of life.
Okay. And do you think that anybody is past the point of being saved, where there's a point where somebody just can't be saved? They're too far gone.
Morally or
just
in general?
Just in general.
I'm going to say tentatively and very softly no.
You don't think there's anybody past the point of that?
Yeah. Of course, that comes down to, you can take extreme cases, and I can look like a moron for saying that, but I'm going to say very tentatively a soft no on that. And
okay.
Yeah, I think, and also to the extent of who am I to say,
yeah.
I guess, because I don't have, I'd love to have more understanding, but I have a very limited understanding.
Do you mind if I recite this to you and you can tell me what you think here? Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up." See, notice that. It says God gave them up.
Right.
"To uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Notice it says he gave them up again.
Right.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Notice it says, God gave them up and God gave them over three times.
Right.
He gave those people over because why? They rejected him. They didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge.
Right. I think that comes down to free will and how God gave us free will and the ability to choose. And if we choose to turn away from him, then you can essentially say that he gave you up, even though it's more so he gave you the ability to choose to turn away from
him. Like, for example, if, say, I was God, and I keep trying to reach out to you, hey, come on, but you, no. And then God's finally like, okay, bye. Yeah. I've rejected you now. Now you're reprobate. Do those nasty, filthy things you want to do.
Right.
That's what it's saying.
Understood.
And then it says, so he gave him over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Would you say that God approves of LGBTQ after hearing this?
Yeah.
He calls it vile?
Right. And I can
vile.
Also
That's pretty bad. If he just called them vile, and he says he gave them up.
Right.
Gave them over three times to do those things. You think God likes that?
I believe this is written for the purposes of, how do I put this? I believe that it's written, tries to hearken away from, any homosexuality or, how do I put this? Or atypical sexual behavior. That's a weird way of putting that, but in order for an express purpose that the life was hard. If you have a community that has like however many people whose sexual preference is not gonna make more people, then you aren't gonna have a society that's gonna be able to stand for itself for very long. And I understand the terms it uses, which are vile, and he gives them up, which are very strict and very not strict, very good Lord.
Oh, you're good, man.
Apologies.
You're good.
Very severe, rather. Mm-hmm. But if I were to follow a God that does not approve of people based on something as superficial as that, then I would think that's the wrong one.
Okay. So would you just say, I mean, do you believe the Bible is the word of God?
I believe it's God-inspired.
So would you accept this passage, or would you reject this passage here?
I wouldn't reject any of the Bible in terms of, hell, I need to do more research.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
I was going to ask you one. So did you notice also that, okay, so do you think people are born gay?
I don't know.
I was going to say, did you notice it says that they left the natural cause?
Right.
So they were in the natural cause at one point.
Right.
And if you actually read Leviticus 20:13, it said, if a man shall also lie with man. Mm. So they were obviously with women before, so they also are lying with man.
Right.
They left the natural cause, so they had to be in the natural cause at one point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand the
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you think God would approve of, you know, that kind of lifestyle, I mean, what are your thoughts on Sodom and Gomorrah?
A little embarrassed. I haven't kept up with news.
When he